listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Tuesday, December 18th. Did you sing any O Antiphons yesterday?
In my head. While I was posting on social media.
I was reading
through that. Oh, one of our missionaries in Latin America was posting the Spanish versions of them.
Oh, very
really
nice.
Cool. Yeah.
We included the O Antiphons in Oratio this morning.
Nice.
Yes. Since it's officially after December 17th, we can sing the O Antiphons. And speaking of singing, we get to do some singing today.
We do.
Singing is a valuable part, an important part of this season of Advent and Christmas. Well, the year round as Christians we sing.
It's
but
just important all
has Christmas caroling kind of have you heard any Christmas carolers? Like, have any come through your neighborhood?
No.
I've not heard any in my neighborhood. Now, granted, we live on the third floor, so they don't make it up to where we live.
They'd be huffing and puffing.
They would. They'd be out of breath by the time they get up there. We're going to talk about Christmas caroling, how important it is, and maybe we'll even try it right here in studio. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. In studio this morning, Cheryl Magnus. She's a magnificent writer, too. Managing editor for The Reporter Online with LCMS Communications, and recently wrote not one, but two fantastic articles in The Federalist on Christmas caroling. Cheryl, such a joy to have you in studio this morning. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
Now, tell us, do you have a long history of Christmas caroling? Did you go Christmas caroling as a kid?
I don't recall going Christmas caroling out in the neighborhood as a kid. I think probably as part of school or church groups. We did a little bit of Christmas caroling, visiting nursing homes and that sort of thing. But as far as just going out into my own neighborhood and walking around and knocking on doors and singing for people in the neighborhood, that's been a more recent development.
Mm-hmm.
My family and I have started to do that, I don't know, maybe in the last 10 years or so. And it's been a wonderful experience. It's great to go to the nursing homes and the hospitals, but it's a different kind of experience just to take the plunge and go out in your neighborhood and knock on your neighbor's doors and surprise them with some singing.
I remember Christmas caroling, like a friend in probably elementary school or maybe middle school had a Christmas, their family had a Christmas caroling party, invited friends over to go Christmas caroling. And this is the 80s. So you weren't even born yet.
I wasn't even born yet.
Did you go Christmas caroling as a child, Sarah?
Not in neighborhoods, no. We would go to nursing homes too.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, I enjoyed that, but I don't have the frame of reference for actually like knocking on people's doors.
Bundling up, going outside, and just like walking through the streets singing. Now, why do you think this is kind of, I've not heard of anyone or seen in anyone really Christmas caroling in the last probably two decades of my life. Why do you think this is tapered off, almost become a lost custom?
I think it's just reflective of the loss of communal singing in our culture. It's not something that we really do together that much anymore. I think it comes about because of a lot of different causes. We have recorded music at our fingertips, and I think we've gotten to the point that we kind of look at music oftentimes as something that the pros do. You know, they do it for us and we consume, and we're just not good enough. We don't sound that great. We don't have those voices, and so we just sort of give up and don't do it at all. I think it also just reflects the loss of music in our schools. Even where music is still taught in schools, it's looked upon as something more of an enrichment or just a fun thing and not really a core subject. So it's reflective of the culture, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think too, jumping in.
Go right ahead.
The thought of like walking around my neighborhood and knocking on people's doors that I don't know is like, it's a little weird. Like I just wouldn't do that, but because I live on social media, because I'm a millennial.
Right.
But you know,
can you Christmas carol on social media?
Actually, you could Facebook Live.
There
probably.
You go.
Yeah,
that's a great
idea.
You
could do it, or Instagram. Yeah.
I think Sarah makes a great point. I was actually reading one of the articles that I read about Christmas caroling as I was researching my article. Talked about how we're so fragmented culturally, and there are many things that we don't share as much anymore. I mean, not everybody watches the same television programs. We don't sing the same songs. So I think it makes it a little bit scarier to go up and knock on even the neighbor that you know, to knock on that door, because you don't know if they're going to share those same kinds of experiences and values with you.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the benefits of singing together as a group? There's some science behind this too, isn't there?
There is some science behind it. Multiple studies have shown that it's beneficial physiologically. It's good for your heart. It's good for your breathing. It's good for brain development. It's good for you emotionally and socially and mentally. As part of our culture, I think it's a unifying thing. It helps bring us together around, some shared values, some shared messages. Sing.
Just one example of that, and then I want to get into the tips that you've shared in your article, and then we're going to practice them. Singing being good for your heart and good for breathing. At a gym recently, we were doing some breathing exercises, and they set a metronome.
What?
They set a metronome for us to breathe to, and after about 2 minutes of that, my heart was beating to the same beat as the metronome. That kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Whoa.
It's amazing, like, how music and breathing and just our whole bodies are
there connected. Are studies that show that people that are singing together in a choir, their heartbeats and their breathing rates actually start to unify as well, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're breathing at the same time, you're taking in air, you're letting out air at the same time, it makes sense that you would your bodies would start to get in sync as well.
Fascinating stuff.
That is so cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at some of the tips that you shared in this article. There are two articles in the Witness. One was to encourage us to get out and do it. Just get over that hurdle, get out and go do it. Go Christmas caroling.
Exactly. So make it fun. One of the suggestions is to have a caroling party and introduce your friends or invite your friends over, offer some refreshments, do a little bit of practicing, but I don't want to make it sound like you have to have a big rehearsal or do a lot of practicing in order to get out and carol together. It's just a good idea to make a plan, pick a few songs, pick familiar songs that your carolers are likely to feel confident singing. Maybe have a leader that's going to decide when everybody's going to start, and perhaps that can give you that starting pitch so you all come in on the same note, which is desirable, if at all possible. Pitch Pipe can help with that as well.
And there are Pitch Pipe apps on your phone if you don't have, like, an actual Pitch Pipe. If you're not quite that level of music nerdery, just download one onto your phone.
I didn't discover that myself until not long ago, that you can actually download one. I'm not very iPhone savvy, so.
Well, and some of my friends from church, we just had a hymn sing at one of our friends' houses, but we very well could have just taken the party outside and walked around the neighborhood and just sung some hymns around the neighborhood.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what happens when you do that? When you say, we take your advice and we put together a group and go out and do it. What's happened when you've gone caroling the last few times?
Lots of different things have happened. For the most part, people are very receptive. They love it. They will often join in and sing with you, especially if you sing the more familiar carols. I will admit that we have on occasion had people that have said no thank you, and or that have listened politely for just one song and then have made it clear they're ready to go back to watching the football game or whatever program they had on TV. But those are in the minority. We've in our own neighborhood back in Oklahoma before we moved here, we did it a couple of times, and the second time that we went, our next-door neighbor had a table set out in the front yard. She had covered the table with a tablecloth. She had good china. She had snacks and hot chocolate, and they were just ready for a party. They were looking forward to it so much.
That is so cool.
Good china. Wow.
Good china. Yeah. Where do we... So we're talking about familiar carols, but where do we find those if we don't have lots of music books laying around the house?
The nice thing about Christmas carols is because they are old, They are in the public domain, so it's very easy to find downloadable, printable versions of Christmas carols on the internet. Just go and, you know, type in your favorite Christmas carol, and you will get multiple sites where you can download and print.
Yeah, I think a number of them that that you recommended have come to us from, what, the Cyber Hymnal and similar places like
exactly,
that online.
Yeah. I think hymnary.org mm-hmm. is
oh, yeah,
one
I
of them.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of good hymns. So say you're getting together a bunch of people, you know, some who are singers, some who are not singers. How do you make the most of it? You know, some who maybe just aren't that... They don't have a long history of singing. You just make the, how do you,
or that can't read music.
Right. That, thank you. That was what I was getting at.
Well, the wonderful thing about Christmas carols is they are accessible. You know, there are some of the songs that I think people still can sing together. There aren't that many that as a society that we all know anymore. I mean, even these days, if you go to a sporting event, people may or may not know all the words to the Star Spangled Banner, and we've become accustomed to having it sung to us instead of singing it ourselves. But Silent Night, you know, O Come All Ye Faithful, these are songs that even people that aren't really in church anymore, that perhaps aren't active Christians, you know, if they grew up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they may have very well sung those songs in school programs. And so this is a great entryway. It's one of the reasons I decided to write this article at this time of year, because it's just a great way to get people singing in a way that's not intimidating.
I have to say, personally, that singing Christmas carols back in the 80s, I learned a lot of these and had them, you know, have them committed to memory from singing them so much throughout, you know, my elementary, middle school, even high school years. Mm-hmm. Just have them. And so when we get to singing, you know, a lot of these during Christmas services, I don't even need, I'm a little boastful there, but I don't even need the hymnal. When we were singing what Hark the Herald Angels Sing one day in chapel recently for the lessons and carols service, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, I don't even need the hymnal. And that, I think, just goes to prove how valuable it is to commit something to memory, because mm-hmm. you can carry it with you for life.
Yeah.
And what great stuff to commit to memory. I mean, this is, you know, the music about the nativity of our Lord. Good stuff.
That's when you learn a different part. Like, I know soprano parts, so I learn the tenor parts, and then mm-hmm. I have to look at the music again.
Isn't it amazing that these Christmas carols that we only maybe sing, you know, for a few weeks out of each
right.
year, and nevertheless, they stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
I know our son has loved singing O Come, Emmanuel, and this year, you know, during Advent, and then this year he learned Angels We Have Heard on High. And, mm-hmm. you know, those who think that children can't learn Latin, he's got it down better than I do.
Gloria in eggshell seats.
Right. Yeah. I remember learning that in elementary school, too. You know, our music teacher, and this was in public school, teaching mm-hmm. us how mm-hmm. to pronounce it correctly in Latin. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she told us it was Latin or not, but we knew mm-hmm. this is how you pronounce it. But I remember just, you know, committing these songs to memory and how valuable that is, especially when you're caroling in the dark.
Yeah.
When you're Christmas caroling, all bundled up and ready to go out into the streets. All right. Any other tips before before we actually put these to the test?
Well, speaking of caroling in the dark, I would recommend flashlights. Those are helpful. Mm-hmm. So take flashlights along. But I think we're ready to do some singing.
All right. Very good. Cheryl Magnus, managing editor for The Reporter, online with LCMS Communications, and also recently authored two articles in The Federalist. We'll share those links in the program notes,
yes,
right?
We will.
All right. We'll share those links to some great articles with some tips on Christmas caroling. Stick around. You can sing with us right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.